and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
All right, you guys, I get to share today. I'm really excited. It's such an honor whenever I get to share with you guys. And today, are you guys ready for today's message? Here we go. Signs of the impending doom ahead, earthquakes. How many of you felt that earthquake? Oh my goodness, right? And the eclipse coming up tomorrow. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. My camera's ready. Everybody.
Camera's ready. Everybody's ready. All right, I'm still in April Fool's mode, okay? I'm really not going to talk about this. Did any of you guys really think that I would talk about the impending doom ahead? That's not my filter. I do think the Lord does speak through signs and wonders and the earth, for sure. But I just have a more victorious mindset towards the impending part, right? So I just thought I would start with a little, ha, ha, ha. Do you like how I threw in the dragon, too? You're the dragon, because I'm a dragon. I had to throw in that, you know. And also people think weird things about dragons, I think, too, so. But that's fine, because the dragon is kind of weird in scripture, right? It's a little scary, so there you go. Except for when it's like birthing the new land. Anyways, I'm not going to talk about Revelation. Sorry, okay. Next slide. Wait, I got a new remote. I'm sorry, I don't have my guys to help me to like move me along. Okay, so just kidding, that was the joke. If you know my heart, you know I would not talk about that, but it's okay. I'm really going to talk about living in the overflow, being filled to be spilled. I really love that a part of this house, a part of FWC's DNA, is to raise the people up to live in wholeness. And the word wholeness has a lot. It's a juicy word, right? And I love that this place really fosters and believes that and goes after that in more ways than one. We have our ministries, a lot of what we aim for is always having this empowerment in mind, this wholeness and thriving in mind. And like Marge, who oversees a big, she's like an ambassador of heaven. Marge, give a wave. She did the transition. I mean, she is rolling in all levels of wholeness. Like, she leads our healing rooms that we just had. This past Saturday, the first Saturday of every month, we have healing rooms here from 10 to 12. And anyone with any physical ailment, anything, just come. And people from all corners of New England and beyond come to just, and they see miracles every time. Going after physical healing, right? Then she also helps oversee, not just physical, our sozo ministry, which really goes after the inner healing, the wounds of our souls and our hearts that might have textured our journeys and our belief systems and our mindsets. And man, is that a thriving ministry that has just been so such a blessing to this house and such a blessing to the people. How many of you guys have had sozos here before, been blessed by that? Yeah, multiple times. Yes. If you have never had a sozo or not sure of what that is, I highly recommend you connect with Marge. There's some info on our info table and stuff, but that is such a beautiful ministry for inner healing and just, yeah, finding those cracks so that wholeness can come in. The healer himself shows up and good things happen, right? So I really love that our church really fosters this wholeness call, if you can. And to make it personal, why I feel so connected to it is one of my life verses has always been, I leak when I feel God, has been when Jesus says that he came to give us life and life abundantly. And I remember when I first heard that as a kid in elementary school, and I was like, ooh, I want abundant life. I don't want to just survive. I don't want to just settle and go through and just be on this steady, small-minded way. I was like, I am so glad that this God calls me higher, that this God has enabled by saying that he came to give me life abundant, that I get to take hold of that. Yes. And so I just love this idea of abundant life. What is abundant life? And I want to ask you guys, what does abundant life mean for you guys, okay? Because I feel like we can have lots of different definitions of what this can look like, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So kind of like what I love to do, I love to hear from you guys a little bit. So if you want to just share what you think it can look like, what it means to you, what is abundant life, how do you define that in your own life, and you want to share, go ahead, Tim. Oh, when you have family making memories. I love that. Family. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. That is huge. I love that, Tim. Someone else. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead. Live above circumstances. Surrender it all and live above the circumstance. Yeah. So this surrendering at the feet of Jesus and laying it all out and just letting him take care. And then we get to praise and magnify him. And we don't take it back. Ooh, that's hard. You're getting into some hard stuff. That's really good. Go ahead. David. Accepting love. Learning to live in it from God and from people. Learning to live in love, not just from God, but from people too. I love that. Yes, go ahead. Yes, to live in God's love, to know his grace is always sufficient. Every day, every day. Rita, go ahead. Living the full purpose of God. His will, his purpose. Yes. That's so good. Yes, go ahead. Living in gratitude and forgiveness. Oh, that can preach for sure. That's so beautiful. Go ahead, Lisa. Having a sound mind and living in peace. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yes, go ahead. Ooh, to be able to receive the unexpected, extravagant blessings of God. Receiving, that is such a good point. Man, you guys are saying some great things. Becky, you want to say it? No, you're like, yeah, yes? Go ahead. Ooh, okay, I love this. Becky says that she sees it kind of, I love pictures because they are so complex and multifaceted. She said she thinks of it like a tree, and there's these different branches of our being with creativity, calling, family, finances, and that the Lord is just blessing and thriving that all. Is that right? I love that. Man, you guys have such beautiful takes on life abundant, right? And the word abundant, we can kind of naturally understand to mean more than enough, more than what's necessary, right? But I love that sometimes, one of the descriptions of abundant is this uncommon aspect of it, that it's uncommon in the world. Something special, something otherly. Not in the sense that it's limited, not in the sense that it's only a few. Uncommon in the sense that there's something more to it than just the standard. Right? I love that understanding. Again, we get access, all of us have access to it all, this life abundant. He came and he gave it. But it looks a little extra if we just notice it, right? I think that's so cool. All right, you guys. I have, Bob, can you help me out? I have a little visual aid. I have a little visual aid, not just slides today, you guys. You get a visual aid. It's called the bucket that runneth over, okay? The difference between surviving and thriving. So we'll see how this works. I tested it only once at home in the midst of dinner time, so it was a little chaotic. Thank you, Bob. You guys give it up for Bob. Thank you so much. He helps so much. You guys kind of see this okay? It's a little bit low. I'm going to try and prop up things as I can. Okay. This might get a little wet, but that's okay. We're getting our carpets cleaned on Monday, so we're fine. Here we go. So this is the love jug. This is the source, okay? With me? The divine, as it were. And then I have a few different containers here that we're going to kind of see if we kind of can think of ourselves as a bucket, holding and containing love, life itself, God, the divine, him indwelling in us. And we're going to see how different containers react to it, okay? So let's see. Let's start with this guy, because this guy's good. I was afraid I wasn't going to have enough water, so I kind of made extra. Here we go. Okay. So let's see. Prop this guy up. Look at this bucket. Is this a cool bucket? You guys can see this bucket, kind of? Okay, notice some parts of the bucket. Make sure I don't leak on the stage, that would be bad. This bucket is made out of silicone. It's a pretty cool bucket. I got it for my girls for Easter. It's a great find. Because it compresses, and then you can, like, it's portable. Okay, anyways, this bucket is, rightly so, a little soft, eh? It's kind of cool. But look what happens. Okay, so, you know, we're going about life. We're getting filled with the love of God. And these other containers all around, you know, sure, getting some of the overflow. Woo! Really feeling the presence of the Lord right now. Glory. Okay. So we're filled, man. I'm filled, connected to the source. And then what happens? Another container comes along and bumps me. Oops. What happens when you get bumped? You spill out a bit, right? But look, it kind of gets bumped and it sloshes, which is great because what should slosh out is love, right? Because that's what we're filled with. But it's pretty resilient, you know, like kind of poke, jab it, and it kind of stays up and it's like doing good. It's not getting bent or collapsing. It's a pretty good bucket, right? All right, let's switch containers here. Ooh, I don't know if this says, let's switch this one. We'll do this guy. Okay. This little container. Let's see how she does. Let's see how this girl does. Okay, so she's living her life in the overflow. Glory. Oh, no. What's happening? She's leaking. She's got a few cracks. And guess what happens when I poke this one? Ooh, it's a little bit rough, right? It's like it kind of hurts. It hurts my fingers a bit more. You know, it's not as forgiving. And it's just pushing out. Sloshing kind of, but then it gets empty. Oops, sorry, got a little aggressive there. You know, but I'll, you know, the soft one will come along, help fill it up. Ugh, but it's still kind of leaking everywhere. Not too good. So this one, I don't know. This is a little broken, a little hard, a little tougher, not a lot of flex, and then it gets cracked and just leaks. Poor thing. All right, then I got one more example. Oh, here you are. What about if you're really squishy? What if you're really squishy? All right, going to the glory, overflowing, connected to the source, reading the word, getting filled. The wine is alive. Okay, here we go. Oh, okay, let's see if I let go, it's gonna flop. When I poke this, oh man, it really spills out. Ooh, that's good, though. It's filling up a lot of other stuff, but, man, it's going dry fast. And then if I just leave it alone, it kind of collapses. So what do you guys think? Ready? Quiz time. What kind of bucket would you want to be if you were a bucket? A cracked one? The squishy bag? Oh, right? We want kind of a little bit of both, right? A little bit of structure and a little bit of give. But something that can stand up, and then when it's resilient, you know, it just kind of, ooh, look at that, keeps going. It's pretty fun, right? Okay. So my girls are like, I want to do it. No, I had to like hide this from them so they wouldn't. Lovely. Water tables are fun. All right, so that's a fun visual, right? So you guys can kind of see where I was headed, right? There's something about that's really important. About our container, if you will, about the capacity that we have to hold love, to hold God and this life abundant, right? If we can think of him as like the infilling and the overflowing, what then affects if we overflow him, how much we contain him, really depends on the container that we're bringing to him. Depends on, of course, there's things like the size. There's lots of ways this analogy could go. But just looking at the material, looking at the makeup of the container, I think can really tell us a lot about and just inspire us to kind of ask the question of knowing how important it is to take care of that part of us, take care of the container part of us. Because when we go about life, we're called to be an overflow, right? Now, the goal is not to be unaffected, right? Because this is something that's really important about life with the Lord, is that we're going to get bumped. It's just a part of life. People are sloppy. We're sloppy sometimes. the poking and the bumping and the spillover is unavoidable. It's just a part of life, you guys, and it's not a bad part of life. And what the part that makes it beautiful is when we can be soft, right? And we can let, when people poke at us and hurt us or like see something that's a little prickly, you know? If we're this soft, safe space, where not only is it easy and nice for them when they bump into us, but it actually causes love to spill out on them. It causes a filling in them of love, right? But when we're going about life a little cracked and broken, those pokes can feel a lot more severe than they are, right? Especially if you get poked in the same spot over and over and over again. It's eventually just kind of, it could break you. Like that, and that's usually what happens is like where we already have these fractures, a lot of the times that's where the poking happens, where we feel it the harshest, right? And so how do you get softer if you're a bit harder? And then with the bag, it's like sometimes I think it's worth saying we can think that it is our job for all of you over helpers to just be squishy. That the real holier thing is to just let everybody squish you to nothing. And then you don't have any. Dan's like, oh, you're feeling the squish bag, right? And then you just don't have anything to give. Or you're constantly, another sign of this is you're constantly having to be in the overflow, which is like sweet, right? And it sounds really spiritual. Like, I have to be in the flow of love, otherwise I collapse. But then you can't function in life, right? Because life is mixed. Life is practical and relational. And not everybody is living in their full glory, this manifestation, right? So, you know, you're not always able to, like, draw from the source, and then you can just get emptied so quickly. And then when you get emptied so quickly, you get resentful, you get a little, it gets a little messy, too. So the poking, the prying, that's unavoidable, but it's not meant, it doesn't have to be this painful thing all the time. And so what I really think is part of this thriving life is when we have the ability to notice our containers, know your container, and then ask yourself, like, what's the condition of my bucket, so to speak, in this analogy? That honest, and it takes courage, okay? It takes courage and humility and that slowing down to really stop and be like, God, what is my container? Like, why do I react so quickly? A great way to know if there's a fracture in your bucket is if there's patterns, overreactions. If there's things in your life that you kind of see that you kind of overreact to, like a regular reaction, like someone hurting you, of course, it's understandable to have some hurt, right? But when there's an overreaction, when you go from like, when someone pokes you with that like a level 2, but your response is like a level 8, right? That's usually because you're getting poked in one of these fractured spots and it's like bleeding you out, like, right? So if you're unsure of like, what's the condition of my bucket, slowing down enough and just asking like, wait, God, can you help me notice, why do I overreact when this happens? And just to give a further example of this is when maybe sometimes at work or just with friends or even with your spouse or your family, you can offer an idea, but it gets shut down. And to the group, it might not seem like a big deal, but to you, it can feel very painful. Or you do something some act of service. You do something to be very helpful. You take out the garbage. You cook dinner, but nobody says thank you. You don't feel appreciated, right? And then if you don't get that thank you or if you don't get that recognition, it can feel really heavy. Can any of you guys relate to kind of either of those experiences a bit? Like it's a human experience, right? Sometimes feeling unseen or unheard. Now, the overreaction, though, can usually link to, it's a point of shame, right? It's because really at the root of us when our idea is not valued and we get defensive and we have to like defend it 10 times harder because nobody's really listening, or we either fight or flight. So that's the fight one, is you like get louder, get bigger, listen to my idea, or you don't see what I do for you, you know, all that stuff. That's like, come at me, you know, that's that fight energy. Or there's the flight, which is you disappear. You hide. You run away. You just, you ignore, you don't address, and then it gets a little bit scary. Because it just like festers in you. And then there's this, both are connected to a shame spiral. This feeling of shame. Because shame is trying to avoid rejection, right? You're trying to avoid feeling rejected. And shame is just this ugly, ugly thing that is very painful. Because at the end of it, if you're believing a lie that you're not valuable, that nobody really does see who you are or really cares, or you don't make a difference, or all whatever the lies the shame, ugly voice is saying, it can cause us to spiral sometimes. And that's where you have why our world is kind of in this, it's an epidemic of like addictions. Not just substance addictions, right? When somebody goes to go, that's kind of a I don't want to say obvious because sometimes it's not obvious. But when somebody tries to numb, but that's usually where they go to a substance to numb, whether that be drugs or alcohol, right? There's also other forms of numbing. Like if there's a intimacy shame spiral, a lot of times people will go to pornography. And there's a huge epidemic of pornography addiction because of intimacy and connection shame and a spiral. So something so as simple as like, nobody heard my idea, and then like you feel shame in like whatever meeting, and then later on you kind of like spiral into this like addiction pattern, right? That like if you slow down enough, you can see how it connects, but in the moment so fast that you just like are... think that you're bound by this addiction that you can never get free, and it's some principle. I mean, okay, I'm not trying to minimize anything. There are powers and principalities at work, but oftentimes our connection to it, because we are victorious people and do have authority over those kinds of things, it's a mindset that keeps us there, right? And so when we can turn the lights on to the connection of that mindset, that's where true healing and uprooting happens, right? It's not just this cutting off the top of the weed. It's this uprooting of, oh my gosh, I have shame here. I was raised and believed that I didn't have a voice, that I didn't matter. And that's what makes me feel unworthy and unacceptable. But wait, that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. I have always been accepted in his family. And I am worthy of love and receiving that. And I have a light to shine. You know, and that's how it can help uproot. And if you need extra help, which oftentimes we need each other help, we have things like Sozo. We have things like therapy. There's so many tools out there, which is such a beautiful thing. And I'll get to that point later. But anyways, knowing our bucket, noticing what's going on for us is a big deal. And honestly, this is hard. This is the hard work. I think this is like where the rubber hits the road, because you're having to kind of just have the courage to just be humble and open. And humility can feel humiliating sometimes, but really when someone walks in humility, it's power. Was that okay that I talked about all that numbing stuff and the world being filled with that? Even things like social media and stuff and scrolling. It's just like the world is just filled with addictions trying to, or like distractions. I shouldn't say addictions. Distractions to try and just get you to numb instead of feeling the crack and actually examining what's there. Right? That's my point. I'm sorry if it was a roundabout way. But that's my point. It's just... So I'm just asking you to have the courage to feel the pain and notice it. And then when you see where that crack is, then you know how to fix it, right? All right, let's move on. What's my next slide? Okay, one of the things I really want to mention because this is really important and hopefully encouraging about having like fractures in our buckets. Because the other part too is like, don't think of this as a black and white way. Like you're either all soft or all hard or all cracked or all like whole. We are complex beings and we are made of many parts. Anyone know that phrasing? It's usually used in psychology and therapy. Like there's parts of us and we're not just these linear one type of being. We're like, I'm happy, I'm sad. We can feel mixed emotions. We can feel excited and afraid, right? And so there's parts of us that are that can be affected. There's parts of us that can have a crack, but then other parts of us that can be fully whole and soft and great, right? So in this like noticing, just be encouraged to know like it's meant to be complex. It's not all or nothing. So if you find a fracture, if you find a sore spot, if you find a spot where you're overreacting, don't be discouraged to think like, well, that's it. I'm just a cracked bucket and I can't hold anything. It's like, no. We all have fractured parts, but there is this overflow. Yeah, Tim, go ahead. Yes, that's my point. Yes. So another way you can think of it, like what Tim just said, is we can almost think of the multiple parts being like multiple buckets. That's another way. That's a great way to put it, Tim. I love that. Yes. So instead of if it's weird to think of you have one bucket with many parts, I think it does make more sense to have think of yourself with multiple buckets and in different conditions. It's okay, Tim. Go ahead. That was a good picture. Borrow from another bucket. Well, in some sense, like my point is like in the interaction, in the relational aspect of who we are, that there's no avoiding the fact that we're going to get bumped. I do think when there's the spillover, that is us in connection. How is our response versus a reaction? And if we are soft and there's a spillover of love, then that's more of a response. We can be safe for someone to poke at, so to speak. But if we're a bit cracked and tough, then the poke is gonna, we might be more reactionary where we do the fight or flight kind of thing, right? Does that make sense? All right, cool. Okay, so one other thing I want to mention real quick is about remembering this idea of remembering. Because in our noticing, I really want to emphasize that the healing and the wholeness, it doesn't come, it's not this exterior achievement, that it's not this outside of us thing. Like the way God created us and knitted us is that we were born in wholeness. Our true identity is wholeness and abundance. And then life happens and there's sometimes fractures and holes and stuff that happen, right? And so instead of trying to just cover up the fractures, a way to get whole, to live in wholeness, is by remembering who you really are and who you already are. One of the stirring nights, I can't remember if I mentioned this already, but we listened to a message from Bill Johnson, and he just was emphasizing, he took scripture from Psalm 22 where he says that all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. That our origin story is wholeness. And in the remembering, we live in that wholeness. And sometimes life, I've heard it be described as like, we start to just fall asleep. We just start sleepwalking, or we just forget. And so when we can value and remember who we really are, and Bill's point was just remembering those marking moments where the Lord came through for us in our lives, and those being the stepping stones for who we believe our God is and who God says about us. The other stuff is just kind of extra, right? And I love this idea of actually like remembering you back together. This reconstruction of who you have always been and really are. That it's not this, again, this external trying to get, gotta achieve thing. He did all the achieving for us. Christ came so that he could prove who we already were. Who God's been after the whole time. who God wanted the whole time, just to have communion with us. It's just such a beautiful thing. So remember, you've already got it. And so that's why I love this. There's nothing missing in you. There's nothing missing in you. And the scripture from 2 Peter says, "For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." My goodness. That's from the Amplified because, you know, it's got a little extra, right? It's got a little extra on there. And I love this because, you guys, we can't take credit. We can't even take credit for the abundance. We can't even take credit for this dynamic spiritual life and godliness because it says, to him who called us by his own glory and excellence. It's not our job. He's already made it so. We already have it. But there is this tension, right? Can we just be real? There is this tension that we live in where we kind of forget, or we can really experience the lack of that. We can feel like we're living less than absolutely everything necessary being provided or having a dynamic godly life, right? Sometimes we can feel like we're lacking in that a bit. And you know what? It made me think of, it's great. I love, the Lord teaches me so much through my kids. So Easter happened, right? And, you know, it's fun to give my kids little toys. And I got the girls, like, the same kind of toy. It was like this coloring pet thing. And they had the same kind of toy, but just different animals. Like, one of them had a bunny, one of them had a hamster, right? Nova had the hamster, and she's 7, and June, my youngest, is 4. So Nova has this artistic ability. She's been drawing, you know, 3 years more than June, or 2.5 years more than June. So she's coloring and drawing on her little hamster, and it's looking really cute. And June gets really jealous. She's like, I want the hamster, you know. I don't want this bunny that's white or scribbly, you know. And it's just, it's so funny because it's like, it's such like us to sometimes we'll get distracted or we'll covet what looks really good on somebody else's life. And we'll miss that. Wait, I have the same toy. I literally have the same toy, but the way Nova's playing with it looks way more fun. So I want hers. So I'm going to ignore the fact that I have my own. I'm going to miss the fact that I have my own because I just see that I want hers. How often do we do that with callings, with giftings, with talents? We'll dismiss our own because we see it really shiny and perfected or on display in somebody else's life. And we don't really see the full story. Right? There's nothing missing in you. There's nothing missing in you. Just have the courage to discover and see and notice. All right, let's keep moving, guys. Okay. I really believe that the path to thriving has little to do with the condition around us, but more about the condition within us. Right? Just really want to reemphasize this point. Thriving is not this external circumstance. You know, like, my job is awesome. You know, I'm getting raises and everything's thriving and the world is just doing great, and so I'm doing great, or my family is just, we love each other so much, and there's no conflict, and it's like, woo! You know, like, we could think that sometimes our lives need to look like this butterfly, rainbow, unicorn, you know, pooping rainbows all the time, and it's like, that's not reality. And, but in the sense of, like, we'll dismiss what's actually going on in our lives because we think it needs to be this perfect picture. And then we'll think that we're not thriving. We'll think that we're just surviving. Okay. Did I hit something? How we talk, the language we use, how we describe our circumstances says a lot about our belief system, right?
Yeah, it does.
If we're talking about our finances in a lacking way, in a survival way. Sometimes we manifest what we speak, right? I just want to encourage you that that's not your inheritance, to just survive and to just make it and to creak by, but to actually thrive. Absolutely everything necessary, absolutely everything necessary for your life, God has given. Like, yeah. Let's watch how we say things, right, guys? Hey, I'm with you. I'm like, whoo, okay, gotta start saying some thriving language here. Oh, okay, I think I have time. I really want to read this scripture. Ooh, okay, this is really good. Okay, I'm going to read this scripture from Luke. It's kind of a lot. Luke 6, 20 through 38, if you guys want to follow. I didn't make slides for it. But I'm going to read through quickly. It's Jesus talking, and it's kind of Luke's take on the Beatitudes a bit. And then there's like this other, there's a lot of like contrasting, like the Beatitudes, and then Jesus goes into like these woes. And then there's like loving your enemies versus like loving your friends and stuff like that. So I want to read it because I think it's like really profound. So Luke 6, starting in verse 20. Then he lifted up his eyes towards the disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you who blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." Okay, blessings, woo. Sounds a little rough, right? Like Jesus is blessing some hard circumstances, okay? "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Okay, sounds a little harsh and extreme, right? Jesus likes to make strong points, and he talks in extremes. Sometimes I think Jesus was an eight, and I'm like, come on, Jesus. It's hard to detangle, like, this direct communication that's so intense, and you're just like, slow down, Jesus, slow down. But at any point, do you see how he's contrasting? If you have a reward on earth, if you seek riches on earth, if you seek, because he's not saying, don't laugh anytime. If you have joy, stop it. That's like, it's not, he's Mr. Joy himself, right? So we can understand, I think what he's doing here is he's contrasting, where are you storing your values and rewards? Is it in your earthly experience? Is it in your circumstance? Is it in the conditions around you where life might be hard, where there might be weeping, where you might be hungry? And you're thinking you got it all wrong and you're not blessed because those guys over there are eating great and those guys over there are making the bucks and those guys over there, you know, it's just like, hey, don't discount your circumstances to be your reality. Okay? Let's keep going. All right. Love your enemies. We're going into verse 27. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And for him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, then what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." I want to pause there for a second and then just read a couple more verses here. Again, Jesus is using these two extremes. He's not saying treat your friends like jerks. He's not, right? We can read through that. But he's contrasting that when we have enemies, that when we have people who abuse and use and don't follow through and betray us, he's pushing us to a higher standard to know, hey, you get to love them. And also, there's a reward when you love them. And I love that Jesus, he's this to the world. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's kind. We get to be like him. All right, let's keep going. Just a couple more verses here. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, you will be measured back to you. The overflow, you guys. This indwelling of God, this filling up of God, that when we offer ourselves and we allow ourselves to be poured out, just like Paul said, to be poured out, it hurts, right? Like, it's hard work, you guys. It's facing, like, it's brave communication. It's confrontation sometimes. It's choosing to not be offended when you have every right to be. You might have every right to be angry. You might have every right to excuse your attitude. You might have every right to be hurt and to wallow in it. And that's okay. It is okay. But we have been called to a higher, we've been called to a higher life, to an abundant life where we don't have to stay in that space. We don't have to stay in hurt. We don't have to stay in counting the our enemies and vengeance. That's not our reward. Our reward is mercy and love and to not have to judge. Let go of that gavel. Stop judging. I swoof. Okay.
Got some fire on that.
Judge not. Even when you think something needs to be said. He's got it, guys. He's got it. God's got it. And he has them. He has your offender. He has your enemy. He has the ungrateful person. He has the misunderstood person. He's got them as well as getting you. It's okay. This model, this example, this is our source, you guys. It's Christ. Our example of thriving. This radical life. Jesus, I'm sorry, I just love him so much. Jesus was so radical. He was so generous with love. He was so generous with love. He was so merciful. And he was super complex and nuanced and confusing. Right when you think you figure out what would Jesus do, he does the opposite, it seems, right? And I think I love that about him because it makes us have to know him, really know him, and not just theorize him, and not just break him down as some kind of accomplishment or stepping stone of how to be like Jesus. It's like he is our model, and then he is the source. We're connected to the source of what we're supposed to be. Like, it's incredible. So whenever I just want to encourage you guys, if you ever feel lack or if you ever feel like you're out of thriving and you're just in this striving mode, just remember the truth of who you are, that Christ is in you and he is not just your source, but he is going to show you how to be. He will show you how to be. All right. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's land this thing, huh? So show up, get filled up, and spill it all out. Spill it all out, you guys. Because from your innermost beings flows that river of living water. You guys are called rivers. We're called rivers. We flow. We're connected to the source, and we're filled to overflow. Can I share one other quick thing, you guys? My younger sister, Sienna, is a mental health psychologist, and we were talking, she was telling me about this really cool study on the power of awe, the experience of awe, and how it is being quantified to heal mental health, PTSDs, trauma. That the experience of awe is literally neurologically healing brain patterns. Wow. And the experience of awe is likened to something vast and bigger than us. A lot of people, they did this study where they had a group of people go on this white water rafting nature experience. And with a group of people, because there was two things they realized, that there's more effective power when you get out in nature and you experience something bigger than yourself and you go through a challenge together that's bigger that you can't do on your own. And then because there's that power in connection and community and not being alone. When we can experience awe with others, there is evidence of that physically healing our minds. It's incredible. It's so beautiful that this, and who is our God? Who is our God but this awesome, vast, beautiful person and creator that created the universe, that created the moon and the stars and the solar eclipse and the seasons and the waterfalls and all of the things that the world marvels at. We get to marvel at the source of that and experience that together. Every Sunday, man, worship is an experience, is a collective experience of awe. No, when you walk in these doors, you literally can walk away different than before. Because if you can tap into the awe and the wonder that happens in worship, you won't leave the same. It's so powerful what we get to do every Sunday here, you guys. Ooh, sorry. All right, let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for being our source of life and being the living water that runs deep within us and through us. And Lord, I pray that today you would expand our capacities. God, you would expand our buckets to hold more love. And God, I pray that you would help give us courage to look and observe and notice what's really going on and help us find strategies and awareness to know and remember who we really are in the midst of those fractures. Remember and reconstruct the parts of us that have gotten poked at too many times that might have caused some hurt, God. That you would reconstruct, that you would remember those parts, God. Jesus, we just love you, our source and our model. I bless everyone here, and I pray that you would just spill and pour out over into their buckets, and they would just be these fountains of life and love to everywhere they go, to their families, to their coworkers, to their friends, to their communities. God, let the water slosh around and get everybody wet. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.